This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. Wilson Wawerau extends his stay at Sligo Rovers on the eve of Rovers' must-win game in Galway. A bumper weekend of club championship finals in Sligo and Fermanagh. Can St. Mellosh Gaels make it second time lucky at Markovic Park? We'll hear from team captain Alan McLaughlin and manager Jimmy Langan. We'll look at O'More Gaels' fairy tale run to the intermediate final as well. And from Fermanagh, Jerry McLaughlin on Erin Gaels' reach for the summit and the New York Cup this weekend. And you're welcome to the programme. This is Austin O'Callaghan. Here are the contact details if you want to get in touch by WhatsApp or text to the number 083 3500 530. By email, sport@oceanfm.ie will get to us. And on Twitter or X, it's at Ocean FM Sport. Also coming up, Charlie Collins has been a voice of Donegal sport for the past four decades now. He's bringing his broadcasting career to a close at the end of this year, and he'll share some memories from the last 40 years with Paddy McGill a bit later on. But first, we've got Galway United against Sligo Rovers coming up live and full for you tomorrow night here on Ocean FM from Eamon DC Park. Kickoff is at 7:45. It is a must-win game for Rovers to keep their slim European hopes alive. Two league games remaining. Mathematically, it's still possible. But one man who won't be involved tomorrow night is striker Wilson Wawerau. He is, as it happens, a former Galway United player. Today, Rovers confirmed that Wawerau has signed a new two-year contract extension, which will keep him at the showgrounds until the end of the 2026 season. He's the current club leading goal scorer, 10 this season across all competitions, but last month he ruptured his Achilles tendon, which ended his season, and it will see him miss a good portion of next season. More on that in just a moment, but our reporter Donal Ryan spoke with Wilson a little earlier about his decision to commit to Rovers for two more years.
I really enjoyed my time this year in Sligo Rovers. I'm just developing my game every week, and I just want to continue that development for next year, and Sligo is really helping me do that.
I suppose when a two-year contract is put on the table like that, it makes it a little bit easier to sign as well.
Yeah, look, they offered me an extension for next year as well, so I was happy to take that, and I'm looking forward for next year.
What have been the highlights of your season so far?
To be fair, my season started after the summer break, where it really kicked on. I just really enjoyed getting game time after that, scoring goals, which was gave me really a big confident boost. But that was pretty much what it was.
And of course, the Player of the Month award in there as well. They don't come around too often either.
Nah, it's not easy to get them awards, and I worked really hard to try to get that award, and I was delighted to get it for July, I think it was. So yeah, that was a big achievement for me.
You said there yourself, Wilson, you probably had a bit of a slow start to the season. Was it difficult, did you find, to turn that around and start? Like, was it looked like once you started scoring goals, you weren't going to stop, but when... But the ball just wasn't falling for you. Was it difficult to turn that around?
Yeah, look, it wasn't easy for the first 6 months, I'd say. I just kept training, kept working hard in training, and I knew I was going to get my start soon enough, and I did. And it did take a while to flow through the game, trying to get my goals and my confidence up. But once I hit my first goal, the second goal came in, third goal came in, and my confidence just rose from there, and hopefully I can bring that for next year once I'm all recovered from my injury.
And how is the recovery process from the injury going?
Yeah, look, it's doing great. Surgery was a success, and now it's just a matter of waiting, letting it heal. And it's looking like I won't be back on the pitch till midsummer, so by then I'll be ready to go and continue what I left off.
How have you found the environment at Sligo Rovers? Like, has it gone as you've expected so far?
No, it's a completely different environment. Obviously, Sligo is a small town. It's really football-based, which is good for players who are assigned to Sligo because it's just focused on football, which is good. But yeah, I've made a lot of friends from the club, which is great. Good teammates. Build a great fan base over here in Sligo, and it's great. It's great support down here in Sligo.
And when the club made their announcement this afternoon, you were full of praise for John Russell, Ryan Casey, and the whole backroom staff as well. What kind of an impact has John had on you as a manager?
Yeah, John has given me great impact in the game when joining Sligo. He is a young manager as well. He wanted to bring young players as well into the team, which he has done, and we've done fairly well throughout the season. It's just unfortunate how it's ending because suspensions, injuries, all that, which is not great. But hoping for next year we can get a more positive outcome in the season, and hopefully as well we still have a chance to get top four. But this last two games, we'll see how they go.
Yeah, Rovers certainly still in the mix for that final European spot, although they do need a couple of things to go their way. They take on your former club, Galway United, tomorrow night in Éamon DC Park. Is that a game you would have liked to have played in, given what's at stake?
Yeah, look, that was probably one of the most exciting games I was waiting for this whole season. Obviously, it's so disappointing just missing it. And yeah, that's the game I was most looking forward to. But hopefully Sligo can get a result, and I'd be happy with that.
Sligo Rovers striker Wilson Wereru, who signed the two-year contract extension. He was talking to Donal Ryan there. And Galway against Rovers is live here on Ocean FM tomorrow night from Éamon DC Park. A kickoff is at 7:45, and it's live in full on FM. Well, next to this Sunday's Mannock Senior Football Championship final in Gaelic Games in Fermanagh, Erin Gales and Enniskillen Gales were blown off course last weekend by Storm Ashley, but they will line up against one another at Brewster Park in Enniskillen this Sunday afternoon at 4:00, with the New York Cup awaiting the winners at the end of it. This is Erin Gales' third county final in a row. They've lost the previous two. They haven't won the senior championship since 1981. One man who remembers that last success is local reporter Jerry McLaughlin, and proud Erin Gales man who's on the line as well. Is this going to be the year, Jerry?
Big question. But before I answer that one, I suppose the big story this week has not been really about the final, but it's been about the stuff off the field, in a sense. I did an interview with Declan Boner for his reaction to the fact that the Fermanagh County Board called off the match a few hours before the game was due to be played, and he wasn't too happy about that. And he pointed out, he was talking about the storm, whatever its name was, that was known on Monday. But the county board replied in an inimitable fashion. Excellent PRO, Deirdre Filoni, came back and said that the storm wasn't really a storm such until Friday. And Declan Boner actually suggested that the game could have been played on the Saturday because it's Saturday, the weather was good. But Deirdre replied that that could not happen because Enniskillen Gales were having ongoing works to their dressing room. So there was quite a bit of debate around it. And I also spoke to Simon Bradley, who basically said that he believed the county board made the right call. But he too mentioned that there could have been a possibility that could have been on Saturday. So, as I say, a lot of stuff going on this week, but not so much about the players. But swinging back to 1981, you asked me about 1981. I have very clear memories of that, Austin, because I was playing reasonably well that year, and then I became ill and I missed out on that championship in 81. That's a big source of regret. And in 1979, I had the bad luck to go to Germany the 2 years that we won it. But there is a good family connection, and I was very proud of the fact, Austin, that my brother Liam was in goals in 1979 and again in 1981, and he also played for the county team. What I remember of the 1981, that game, it's a long time ago, it's very hazy. I remember that Belcoo were very much on top in the county final in the first half, and they were leading by something like 1-7, 1-5, 1-6 to 2-3. And some of the Belcoo people, I remember in the crowd, had a big banner up, New York's coming home to Belcoo. But in the second half then, there was a famous switch, probably one of our greatest ever local legends, Big Jerry Gallagher, sadly departed recently, father of Rory Gallagher. Somebody decided it'd be a good idea to take Jerry out full forward. He's getting no ball there. He was switched to midfield and he caught everything. And between himself and Jerry Rooney, they really broke Belcoo's heart. It was a magnificent comeback and we won the championship. And my memories of it are of Shawnee McCaffrey, affectionately known as Cruncher McCaffrey, holding the New York Gold Cup high. It meant an awful lot to Bleak. I remember in those times, Austin, that we had a very, very good team. And I remember Brian McAniff telling me one time that if he had been allowed to manage them, we would have won four or five county championships. So, yeah, a lot of happy memories from that. And, my God, Austin, how much it would mean to Bleak to attain that.
Well, on that point, if we spool forward again to 2024, if the weather complicated things last weekend, Jerry, there are fresh complications this weekend in the run into this family because Éireann Gael's hurling team are also involved in an Ulster Junior Club Championship match the day before on Saturday. Yes. And for context, there's quite a few dual players affected by both matches.
Yes, we have a very proud hurling tradition, as you may know. We won county championships in 73, senior championships 74, 75, 81 and 84, and senior leagues in 74, 75, 80, 84 and 85. So it's a proud tradition of hurling, and it was revived a few years ago. Now, the background to the hurling thing is this. The tie was fixed by the Ulster Council for next Saturday. And then when Éireann Gael's, when the game didn't go ahead last Saturday or last week in Enniskillen, it sort of put the focus back on the dual players. Now, we have Ulton O'Reilly, who was the man of the match in the game against the Derrigunley Harps. We have Oran Johnson. We have Padraig Johnson with Eamon Oak-McGee. And there's a few other lads like Thomas Burns, who were fringe players, but at least three of those guys or four could be starting. So it was impossible to ask them to play in an Ulster Club Championship on the Saturday, just 24 hours between the before the big game. So there was a lot of moves made during the week. Naturally, the hurlers are not happy. They eventually agreed to play it, but it's kind of under duress. They did get on to the Ulster Council. In fairness to the Ulster Council, they said, look, we can't... that's set in stone, but if both clubs agree, you can play it under lights next Tuesday or Wednesday. That's if Sean Tracy's of Armagh agree. But they did not agree, and the club understands their position because they had players that would not be available. So instead, the game is down for Bleak at 3 o'clock. But, Éireann Gael's, even with a full hurling team, it would be quite a huge task to compete with Sean Tracy's. But without four or five of their players, it makes it even worse. Now, the hurlers haven't said much about it so far, but I think they might have something to say about it after 3 o'clock. That game is, by the way, Austin, it's at 3 o'clock in Parknahan.
Yeah. Both games going ahead. And in terms of the football final, what is your gut telling you this time around for Éireann Gael's, Jerry?
Well, my gut wasn't telling me much this week because I was kind of busy doing stories about the aftermath of last weekend because I have to earn a living as well. But yeah, what's my gut telling me? This year, above all other years, they are much better organised. They're better defensively. Potentially, we have some of the best forwards and the most experienced forwards in the county. I think that Declan Bonner and Paul Brennan have taken the club to a new level of professionalism. No stone has been left unturned. The preparations are just up to the nth degree. Now, I hear, and I hope this isn't the norm, but I hear there's going to be rain on Sunday. Let's hope it's not heavy rain, because I saw we had a yellow warning status for this evening. But some people were suggesting that maybe that the rain might suit the more experienced Bleak lads. Maybe, because then the Skilling Gales are younger and they're speed machines. But, I mean, if it was down to the people of Bleak, this final would be won long ago, because I've never seen as much spirit in the area. Like, a quarter of this village is in Donegal, and as you know, the Midlochlin, like many others, we play the two sides of the border, probably totally illegal. We never had any frontiers here, but there's a great united spirit. I've never seen anything like it. It's on social media. It's everywhere. And there's also a feeling, too, that this team is getting on. A bit like the Donegal team that won the All-Ireland in 1992. They were an old team. We are an old team. There is very much now a sense of now or never, that if we don't do it now, then God knows when. And I mean, to lose three county finals in a row would be disastrous. So we just can't think of defeat, Austin. We have to do it. And my God, there'll be choir celebrations. There could be a few boys going missing for a few days.
Well, on that note, let's hope that Balik spirit you've referred to translates onto the pitch at Brewster Park on Sunday afternoon. Jerry McLaughlin, as always, colourful. Thank you for that. Good luck to Erin Gales and to Enniskillen Gales on Sunday. The Fermanagh Mannock Senior Football Final throws in at 4 p.m. and it's being streamed live on the Monaghan Brothers Fermanagh GAA TV platform. When we come back, we'll hear from Emily Mulligan on Mickey Graham's proposed move to Galway. That's next.
The Final Whistle with Austin O'Callaghan.
Well, Mickey Graham's move to the Galway senior football management team should be confirmed later tonight by the county board there. The Cavan native left Leitrim just 63 days into his Leitrim managerial role because of what was described at the time as circumstances beyond his control. But the apparent switch to Galway hasn't gone down well with everybody in Leitrim. Among them, former county player and joint manager of Fianna Sinn Caillians this championship season, Emlyn Mulligan. He spoke to Niall Delaney on North West Today earlier.
There's just an extreme disappointment, I think, within the county. Obviously, as I mentioned, like losing Andy Moore was a massive, massive setback, I thought, in the first place. He brought a massive amount of enthusiasm to the county. And, for some reason or other, I'm not sure why, I believe, and I'm led to believe that Andy didn't want to stay on. And everybody thought that. And then he obviously left. So continuity was huge. And obviously, having Mickey Graham involved with the squad for the last year, having managed Ballymore as well, you know, his knowledge of Leitrim football was huge. So, and obviously, the calibre of the man and in terms of what he achieved as a manager. That continuity was brilliant to keep him in the position then to take over from Andy and to progress the work that Andy has done. And then obviously it was very unfortunate to hear that he had to step away. And I think as anybody no more than myself, you know, felt for him in terms of, as you said, due to sort of different circumstances out of his control, and you kind of hoping that everything's okay with his family life or his own health and that. But to hear then speculation that potentially that he's going to step into Galway then a number of weeks after that, it was just really disappointing. And I just think it's a massive setback for Leitrim in terms of their progress for next year. You know, we're back to the drawing board looking for a manager again, and it's just really throwing a spanner in the works. And I just think to make it to turn around and make that decision, I can understand why the likes of Galway would be a little more lucrative, but it's just the way and the manner that it's been done is just really disappointing.
Yeah, well, we don't know. There's nothing decided yet, and we don't know if that was part of his decision to jump ship after 63 days. Circumstances beyond his control, he stated at the time. But I sense, no more than yourself, there is, within a lot of the GA community in Leitrim, there is a little bit of anger over this, isn't there?
Definitely, anger is the word. And listen, there's more important things in life, we know that. Yeah. It's only a game of football, and as you said, we all have different circumstances in our own lives going on, and I can understand if this potentially happens for Mickey, why you'd be looking at potentially going to the likes of Galway, maybe not Leitrim. But as a Leitrim person and someone that's worn a jersey for a long number of years, you know, when you have that bit of passion for you, you're obviously going to be that bit disappointed, because I expect and I want our players to be looked after well, and we're in the media for the wrong reasons, whereas, you know, there's been a lot of progress the last number of years with underage, with Leitrim, etc., and we'd rather be looking at that going forward rather than the situation we find ourselves in, being left out high and dry. And if it is the case that it is the reason it was to go to Galway, so be it, we have to move on. But it's just the manner of it. And again, as you mentioned, speculation is the biggest word here. And from sources, I do believe that, you know, that it will happen. But I'm not sure this media attention and the potential. Will Galway look at this and maybe say this might be the right option for them? I don't know. But it's just... in Leitrim, sometimes we always feel we're treated as second best citizens, and I think if this was any other county, this would not have happened. And I 100% believe that.
I think there is definitely an element of that. You've also said in that tweet that, you know, letting Andy Moran go was the biggest mistake the county board could have made, but they couldn't have stopped it, surely, if he wanted to leave, Emlyn.
Listen, I'm not getting into the, I suppose, that situation. I was led to believe, and it came as a shock to a lot of people, because, you know, Andy's only been ratified there as number two with Monaghan only a number of weeks ago. So there's been a huge gap from the day Andy left. So I potentially thought maybe Andy had something already lined up, but I don't think that was the case. So it's just, he put so much work into that, and I knew he loved going up there every day. And it's, you know, there was definitely something more to it. I'm not exactly sure. But listen, we have to move on from that. But Mickey was the ideal replacement. Do you know what I mean, Niall?
As you said, the continuity was important, as you said, and he had the club experience.
Yeah, you know, and there's speculation of new managers now who are probably going to come in there with absolutely zero knowledge to a degree of Leighton football, and there's no potential, there's no opportunity now to see club players. Players that played well in the club championship, that's all gone in the past. And, you know, counties are due back, I think, the first week of December. Now, there's a lot of them probably back already on the QT. But, you know, National League's when you're in the corner in the new year. So, yeah, it just puts them in a poor situation because, you know, they're in Division 3. You know, it's a good job for any man that wants it. But it's just, there's a lot more work now for the county board going out looking for someone in the next couple of weeks.
Well, any idea who should it be? I don't know how many people would be in the frame for the job, Emlyn. But what would you like to see the county board do now? Would you advertise it, number one, obviously?
Yeah, there's advertising. Like, you can advertise it, but I still think the county board obviously have to go out there and approach people to candidates that feel fit for the job. Like, there's obviously speculation of Declan Bonner seems to be a person that's been mentioned. I read something, and you know, I think there's one man in the county in Leitrim at the minute managing, Aidan O'Hara, who I believe hasn't been approached or even contacted in relation to it.
Has expressed an interest.
And to my own knowledge, hasn't even been contacted. So I'm not sure. Like, he's coming off six club titles in Tullerstrand, three in Mohill. Knows the championship inside out at this stage. Knows the players, and you'd imagine he'd be the easy fix because just his knowledge straight away, he could get things up and running because he knows every player in the county. You know, so again, I just think he'd be a perfect candidate at this moment in time. But we'll have to wait and see. And listen, the likes of Declan Bonner, then were available and they wanted us and they wanted to give it a shot. You couldn't turn down the likes of him either. But it's just listen. We're in the media for the wrong reasons, unfortunately, and I just think the players deserve better. And listen, best wishes to Mickey, whatever decision he does make, if it does happen for him, you know, this would be great for him. But it's just, I think the way it went about the situation is just quite disappointing. And, I think that's just where the anger came, and the bit of anger came out of my tweet. And as I said myself, you know, you take these things in anger sometimes. But I wouldn't begrudge the man anything. That's one thing I'd say, you know. But it's football at the end of the day, and there's more important things. But, definitely a small bit of anger around the county in the last number of days, surely now.
Leitrim's Emlyn Mulligan speaking to Niall Delaney earlier today. Well, we've got a plethora of county finals over this weekend for you. Saturday afternoon, the Sligo LGFA Conagold Senior Football Final replay. The holders St. Nathie's against Owen Rua. That's live on Ocean FM and it's been streamed live by Sligo LGFA from 2:15 on Saturday afternoon. Kilcoyne Park and Tubbercurry, the venue. Later on Saturday evening, the men's Conagold Junior A Football Final is in Tullerstrand at 7 p.m. That's Ballymote against Clinacool. That'll be live in full on oceanfm.ie. You can listen to that game uninterrupted. At the same time in Enniscrone, it's the Sligo Davis's Restaurant Yates Tavern Senior Hurling Final. This is being live streamed on Sligo GA TV. Holders Eastkey going for 5 in a row against Nave Owen. Then on Sunday from midday, we've got the Connacht LGFA Junior Club Football Final. Clara Strandhill of Sligo taking on St. Fersey's of Galway. That game's in Swinford at midday and it'll be live here on Ocean FM. We'll be on the air live from Markovich Park just before 12 noon. After that, we'll have the men's county final double bill at Markovich Park at 1:00. It is the intermediate Connacht Goal Final, Omor Gales against Eastern Harps. More on that in a short while. And at 3:15, it's a repeat of last year's county final, holders Clara Strandhill against St. Meloche Gales, who are back for more. In a moment, we'll hear from the St. Meloche manager, Jimmy Langan, but first team captain, Alan McLaughlin, on what he and his teammates have picked up from last year's agony of the county final defeat.
I think we would have learned a lot from last year. Obviously, we were disappointed we couldn't get across the line. I suppose going into this year, it's a different story. It's our second time there. Third time in the club's history, so hopefully we can go one better.
Your own year this year has been a pretty special one, breaking into the Sligo team, carving out a regular place for yourself at county-wise. Do your club mates feed off that success?
I suppose they do in a sense. Obviously, I had a reasonably good year with Sligo. And look, at this stage of the year, you're just hoping that form, I suppose, transpires to which your club like. So I think the boys feed off that. Look, we've plenty of players there that can do a job in any day. I suppose that's the beauty of team sport. Like, so look, I think the boys know themselves what needs to be done, I guess.
I think your year's been better than reasonable, but I know you're a modest guy. But I think for as long as I've seen you playing, Alan, for your club, St. Meloche Gaels, you've been a very passionate Milosh guy. You wanted to achieve something with your club, and now here you are on the crest of it.
Yeah, I suppose, look, I suppose that's where it all starts when you're a young fella. You know, the whole way up from whatever age you start, under sixes, under eights. This is, I suppose, this you want to be playing well for your club, and you want to, I suppose, you want to win silverware. Like, so, look, we know we have a big challenge in 2 weeks' time, but hopefully we can get it done.
And you have won silverware. You've won a Division One league title, so you have won things along the way. But I know the OMB Hunt Cup is something that you and every club player has your target on. Does the fact that it's the same opponents again change much, or change the dial much?
No, look, I don't think so. Like, it could have been whoever it was. I think it's no matter what, when you get to the stage of the year, in a final, it's going to be a huge battle. Like, obviously, look, we played Clara last year in the final. We played them in the league this year. We know we have great respect for them. Like, they're a superb outfit. So, look, we'll give it our all, I guess, I suppose.
Jimmy Langan, St. Milosh Gael's manager. How much older or wiser, I don't know what the word is, going into a final like this, given that you were right here 12 months ago?
Well, I suppose last year it was new. I think we were in the final before this in 1978. So for all of us, it was new last year, you know. But we've been trying so hard for years. We're up and down to intermediate, yo-yoing up and down. So I suppose we learned a lot from last year in the build-up and even the game itself. You know, so this year, hopefully the experience of the final last year, like, it was a great experience. It was one of the biggest crowds I've seen in years at the final, you know. So for our young lads, I'm sure they would have learned a lot from it. And hopefully we can take that learning into the final on Sunday week.
And you've come through to get back to the final, an attritional group phase in the championship. You must be impressed by the way your team dug out the results when they were needed and the scores when they were needed.
Yeah, like, we started off with Curry, and in fairness, that was a free-flowing game. It was a great game of football, and like, Alan McLaughlin gave an exhibition that day. But on the other side, the second day against Tore Estran, Nahalone, like, management and players, the hand is a lesson in Tubber. So to come back from that, I suppose, in and to get through, we played well against Mary's. So to come out of that group, you know, we were absolutely delighted, you know. And we obviously we drew with Drumcliffe. I think we were 3 points up a few minutes ago. They came back. They had a chance at the very end. So after four teams, even Curry, in fairness, there wasn't a lot between the teams in that group. So we're just delighted to come in second place.
There seems to be a belief around this Milosh squad. Where does that come from?
I suppose in years gone by, it probably wasn't there, to be honest. But I think some of the older lads, we have three on the county panel now, and that's, like, you have Alan McLaughlin, captain there, Luke Towie and Luke Cassie, three great lads. You know, I think a lot of other lads in would have played with good county minors, good county on the 20s, and they're great lads. They're playing college's football at the highest level. They're playing at Connacht. They're competing in Connacht with the county. Like, so they really drive it on. And there's a great bunch there. Like, even from last year, we came back at it again this year. Every player is back at it, you know. So they're just, I suppose, trying to win this championship.
In terms of planning for Killara Strandhill in the 2024 final, Jimmy, is the 2023 decider an irrelevance? Would you even look at the video to see if you can glean anything fresh of it?
No, not really, to be honest. Maybe last year we kind of, you know, we focused on Killara as best we could. So this year, like, the fact it's in Killara in the final is irrelevant to us, to be honest. You know, we just, if you focus too much on Killara, maybe we took the eye off the ball a bit last year. So, like, we'll focus. Of course, you'll keep an eye on Killara. Like, they've serious, not alone serious players, they've serious leaders on that team. You know, they're a very, very, very good team. And we know exactly. But the fact we played them last year, I don't really know. Like, it's not revenge or anything. We were just trying to win our first one.
Is it too simplistic to say you'll be looking to replicate your first half performance in the final last year for 60 minutes?
Well, if we could do that, it'd be great, you know. But look, I think the learning was there last year. But like, we did play well in the first half. Maybe we should have been a few more up. But like, unfortunately for us last year, the game was over 60, nearly 70 minutes now at this stage with injury time. And there's no question Killara deserved to win it last year. But we know to beat Killara, we'll have to put in a 70-minute performance, whatever it is, 67, 68 minutes, whatever. Like, we know they're that good, you know.
St. Milosh Gael's manager, Jimmy Langan. And before that, team captain, Alan McLaughlin. Sunday's final throws in at 3:15. It's live and full here on Ocean FM, courtesy of Oates Breheny Group, your local property and mortgage expert. And it's also being live streamed by Sligo GAA TV. Before it, another county final with big interest. Eastern Harps knocking on the door to get back up to senior football are back in the final. And so too are Olmore Gaels, who were the junior champions just 12 months ago. And at the first attempt, they've come straight through the group phase of the intermediate and are one win away from turning senior. We'll hear from their manager, Gary Mullen, in a moment. But first, harp selector Mikey O'Grady on that craving out at Father Kevin Brenny Memorial Park to get back to senior football again.
It's been a long rebuilding journey over the last number of years. We've got a lot of youth in our side, along with some experience, and we've been building that over the last couple of years, bringing in new minors all the time, no more so than this year. Getting up to Division 1 last year was a big plus for us, and we had a consistent enough year in the league in Division 1. Held our place there fairly comfortably, and the focus then was to drive on in Championship and get to where we are today. Nothing done yet. We've one huge last step against Olmore Gaels to take the weekend after next. So look at where we want to be, but we've another step to go.
Would you describe this Harps team as completely reshaped, or are there still elements of what we've known from Harpstown the last number of years?
There is elements, yeah. You know, we still play an open attacking style of football that we have played in the club down the years. Like we still stick to those principles.
That's not going to change.
That's not going to change. But we've also, you know, we can mix it up. We're tough defensively. We can be hard to break down. You know, we've conceded a low number of scores throughout the Championship to date. And you know, that was the basis for a lot of our attacks. And that's when we like to bring the expansive and mix it up. You have speed through the hands and letting ball in. But you know, it always has been the Eastern Harps way, was to try and play as attractive football as we can. But you have to try and change with the times to try and get across the line, and you know, it varies from opponent to opponent as well.
One of the other strengths too we've noticed in recent years is your underage teams have come through. You've had a crop there of rising up to minor level that have been more often than not head and shoulders above a lot of the other clubs in the county. That must be very invigorating for the club to see that sort of talent coming through.
Ah, yeah, look, it's great to see it. And you know, just call out to Keith and Keith Carty and the lads there that's over the minors the last number of years. You know, and the structures in the club right down. There's great work being done underage. And we're starting to see the fruits of that coming through now. And it's not just this year, but the last couple of years, we're constantly adding those couple of minors. We've had more coming through this year. And even in the drawing game against Giva, when things was to the wall, it was an extra time and it could have went either way. It was a couple of the minor lads that came on that you know, made those runs and got us across the line, and you know, they really added that energy and pace along to what we already have. So we have, you know, some of the lads that'll be in their mid-20s, early 20s to mid-20s, we're calling them the experienced, you know, older guys now, which they're still only coming into their prime. So yeah, look, it's great to see the work that was done underage over the last few years and has continued to be done is starting to come through now, and we're seeing it coming through at senior level.
And for the neutral, this looks a very exciting final on paper. Two pacey football teams going at each other. Eastern Harps probably feel they belong in senior football. A lot of people would feel that. But you're up against a team who were the junior winners 12 months ago. And there's a romance about Olmore Gaels at the moment. Have you got to be mindful of that going into a final like this?
Oh, absolutely, Austin, yeah. Yeah, look, it could be an open game. It might not be. You know, finals take a life of their own. But Olmore Gaels, you know, credit to them. Again, a fast, young team, and they have that mix of experience as well. So, like, they've came up, they've won the junior last year. They've bounced off the back of that. They're the only unbeaten team in the Intermediate Championship this year to date. And that's credit to the work they're doing. You know, we've had battles with them in the Spring League and in Intermediate League prior to us getting promoted, and they've always been a point or two either way. So yeah, look, we're expecting a huge contest battle. They're a side with their tails up. As you say, lots of pace, lots of good shooters on the ball. And look, it's going to come down to the day. You know, it's a final. Anything can happen.
The occasion
is going to be massive. So look, at both teams, as you say, play a similar brand of football. Yeah, it should make for an exciting day, but the elements and all of that is going to play into it as well as the occasion. So, yeah, we'll see what happens on the day.
Right, well, Gary Mullen of O'More Gales, is this a pleasant surprise or did you see this coming, that you would reach back-to-back county finals?
No, I think it's a pleasant surprise, Austin, to be honest with you now. I don't know whether it's more good luck than good guidance or whatever, but yes, it's lovely to be in it anyways, for sure.
Because when teams go up a grade, whether it's from junior to senior or intermediate to senior or junior to intermediate, it's often about consolidation when you move up a grade. But you guys seem to have flourished.
Well, I think the lads had a great run last year, and especially getting into Connacht as well, kind of the rose the bear a little bit for themselves, and then they brought that momentum into this year, and it continued on, and here we are, like in an intermediate final. So all good, all fair juice to them, likely.
What do you put the run down to? I mean, you seem to motor very nicely in the group phase, and then took your chance in the semi final.
Well, I suppose even last year I would have said about the younger players coming in, and like the younger players to me is football is all about younger players, and the guys we have are top young guys that's well able to express themselves on the pitch, and that's what we allow them to do, is express themselves, and when they do that they're capable of doing anything on any given day, and they have really rose the bear and pushed themselves on, and they're bringing the older guys in the team up a level as well, and they have to push to get into that team. So to be honest with you, it's a younger, more improved team that's coming through there.
So is championship football, Gary, a young man's game now?
I think any type of football is a young man's game, Austin, but definitely when you come to the sharp end of the championship, you need pace and fitness at that stage. And we seem to have peaked well last year and this year coming towards championship. Our league performance last year was okay, good enough, and this year was good enough as well. But then when we came into the championship, we seemed to jump up another level on both years, and we have pushed on from there.
You'll be up against an Eastern Harps side which has youth but a lot of experience too, and a lot of championship heritage.
Yeah, and I think if I'm honest, I suppose Eastern Harps is probably the closest team in the championship to the way we play football. They're smaller crew and they're pacey as well, so I'm expecting a very good game. They're a very open game, so hopefully it'll be good for the spectators, maybe not for us on the line.
Right, okay, yeah, well, that's good news for spectators potentially.
Yes, exactly, yes.
What do you think it will take to win this final?
I think we're not going to change what we're doing up until now, so we'll just keep it's going to be intensity, momentum, and the will to want, the hunger to want to win that game. And as I think we have the hunger, yes, still in our bellies.
And one last question, just on the buzz around the club at the moment, around Connolly Park, Colooney and your catchment areas. I mean, you've come from junior to an intermediate final. There has to be a little bit of giddiness around the place.
Oh, it's unreal, Austin, especially with the younger generations in the schools and all that. Like they're even at the semi-final, you've seen there was a lot of young kids with their O'More Gales jerseys and flags and everything on. So it's good for everything. It's good for the club, and it's good for younger ones that want to play football. So to see a team like this coming on and to say, well, I want to be in there someday as well. So it's great. It's great for the club.
Ocean FM.
It's a high noon Sunday for Ocean FM Sport. We're on the air just before midday for live coverage on the Connacht LGFA Junior Club Football Final between Culleira Strandhill of Sligo and St. Fursey's of Galway. From 1 o'clock, we take you to Markovich Park for a Sligo Men's County Final double bill. O'More Gales against Eastern Harps in the Connacht Gold Intermediate Final. And then at 3:15, the Homeland Senior Football Championship decider. Holders Culleira Strandhill against St. Maloche Gales. Take two, a repeat of last year's final. It's all live with Oates Breheny Group, your local property and mortgage expert. See obg.ie. Alongside all that, Erin Gales will try to regain the New York Cup in Fermanagh at the expense of Enniskillen Gales for the first time since 1981. It could be a history-making Sunday, and it's live with Ocean FM Sport from noon.
And two games we didn't mention in that promo that we will be featuring on Sunday. They're both in women's Gaelic football, in addition to our commentary on the LGFA Junior Club final from Swinford between Caleva Strandhill of Sligo and St. Fersey's of Galway. We'll have reporters at the Connacht LGFA Senior Club quarter final in Roscommon between Clonagale and Glencarmanor Hamilton, the Leitrim champions. That's at 1 o'clock on Sunday. And from the intermediate semi-final, which is taking place in Castlebar. That's Castlebar Mitchells of Mayo against Drumcliffe-Ossa's Point of Sligo. That's a midday throw on Sunday. We'll have reporters at both those games as well when we come on the air just before 12 to keep you in touch during the first segment of the programme with all those provincial women's club championship matches involving Sligo and Leitrim teams this Sunday. Well, let's finish with Charlie Collins, who has been one of the distinctive voices of Donegal sport over the past four decades. And he's decided to bring his broadcasting career to a close at the end of this year. He's been explaining that decision to Paddy McGill.
If you recognise that the time is right, then you make that decision and go. I suppose, to be honest, I was thinking about it last year, Paddy, around this time, or maybe a little bit earlier in the year, as I was approaching 70 in January 2024. But a certain man was reappointed as manager of the Donegal senior football team, and I thought, geez, I'll hang about for another year just in case I'd missed something, you know. So it was great hanging on. Obviously, it would have been great if we had gone on to win the All-Ireland, but we had a great year with the senior team and with the hurlers and with everybody else and the ladies. So I just thought, Paddy, now's the time. I feel it's the right time just to go and leave it behind you younger boys to handle everything.
I'll be completely honest with you. Growing up in Glengesh and Ardra, having Charlie Collins on, because of course, back even in the mid-90s, there wasn't as many matches televised live, and there certainly wasn't any streams that time. You were just an icon for all of us other clowns that are trying to be commentators. You just were the voice in every house in Donegal. And you've had an incredible career, Charlie.
Yeah, I've had a good career, Paddy. I've really enjoyed it. That period you mentioned, Highland went on air in 1990. I'd worked for a pirate radio for about 3 years before that. Done DCR, Donegal Community Radio, and that gave me a nice little grounding. But we were very fortunate, Paddy, because if you think back to that period, Donegal were in five consecutive Ulster finals, 89 through to 93, won 90, won in 92, All-Ireland in 92. Then there were National League finals in the mid-90s as well. So GAA played a huge role in the development of the sports department on Highland Radio and the listenership to Highland Radio, because you made a very good point there. Prior to that, people, you might have seen a Donegal game, a wee clip of 2 seconds or 20 seconds. All of a sudden, you had a situation where, with ourselves, and indeed Ocean then, of course, very quickly, you could sit in your sitting room and sit in your kitchen and listen to the whole game. And that's what Donegal people wanted to do. So GAA played a huge role in the success of Highland. And I suppose for me as well, in those early days, being able to commentate on the games was a big thrill. Nothing beats it. And as I said at a function last night, somebody said to me, what's the highlights, you know? And I said, well, there's two highlights, 1992 and 2012. Commentating on my county, one on the All-Ireland. Doesn't get any better than that, Paddy.
92 must have been unbelievable. I barely remember it. Like, I was so young. And I listened back to your commentary, actually, before the 2012 final, and you were talking about the Battle of Clontarf and every other
fan. What a wingman to have, and he had a great sense. I remember we were doing a doubleheader in Croke Park, and the first game the referee let everything go, and the second game the referee was blowing everything. And I said to Michael, what's going on? You know, such a difference between this game and I said, are we watching the same game? And just quick as a flash, he came back at me and he says, oh yeah, Charlie, he says, the menu's the same but the chef's different. And he was a great man for those one-liners. And there was another day we were at a game, Donegal, and I think it was Armagh, it was a National League game on a wet day, and it was rough going. And I said that to Michael. It's tough out there, Michael. No place for mammy's pets, Charlie, you know. So he was an icon. Brilliant man. Great memories, Paddy, you know. Fantastic.
And tough days as well, because what a lot of people don't realise, there's days you have problems with the equipment. You could have 10 people in the space of 2 metres and everyone's talking over everyone. And you're giving up weekends as well, Charlie. And it is brilliant, and we all love it, and we wouldn't be doing it otherwise. And I see Bradis O'Donnell there, identical as well. Another brilliant service he provides always for Donegal, but there's tough days as well.
Oh, there is, Paddy, and you made a very good point there, because it is giving up weekends, and that other people have to give those weekends up as well, you know, family and such like. because we get so engrossed in what we're doing, like, and we forget that, you know, weekends are usually places, times that people go out and enjoy themselves. And it's probably one of the reasons now that I've decided to retire. I need a bit of time now to book a holiday without worrying about what's going to be on in the meantime. I did an interview with Jim at the press conference before the Armagh final, Ulster final, and I said to him, Jim, we mightn't have just expected to have been here, you know, given the draw that we had. And he said to me, were you a believer, Charlie? And I says, well, to tell you the truth, Jim, no, I wasn't a believer. I didn't think we'd be here. But I says, I'll qualify that by saying that before I booked my holidays, I checked when the Ulster final was. And when it was on the 12th of May, I booked to go on Monday the 13th. And this is the life we live, Paddy, you know, watching things like that. And as I say, it affects other people. But listen, I remember saying to Ryan Ferry one day, we were at a match, I think it was in Burt, and it was pouring in the rain, and we were under my umbrella, and both of us giving out. And I said, I suppose, Ryan, we better shut up here, because we chose this. It didn't choose us. You know, the job didn't choose us. We chose the job. But listen, Paddy, no regrets. Great times, exciting times. Not only in the GAA world, but in other sports as well, you know. It was important at the time we started in Highland to make sure we tried to cover everything. And, you know, we had St Johnstone, the only cricket club in Donegal. We had Raphoe Hockey Club, the only hockey senior hockey club. You know, we had rugby teams, not that many of them. So GAA and soccer look after themselves, as you would know. And these other sports, athletics, Patsy McGonigal came on board, you know. So you can become part of the community, because sport is entwined in everybody's lives. There's always somebody in the house who's involved in sport and interested in sport. So it's been a great time, Paddy. There's no doubt about it. Great time.
You've just been terrific. When you say holidays, I know that you actually mean going over to North London to watch Spurs. Maybe a couple of more results from Spurs. Maybe you might get back doing the commentary again and getting that handicap down as well.
Hopefully the latter. Anyway, but Spurs are so frustrating to watch. I mean, you think I'd have a bit of sense at this stage, but I'm still shouting at the TV when they're playing, Paddy. You know, it's crazy stuff, but I don't like this playing out from the back, because they're getting caught so often, giving away goals. 2-0 up in their last game, lost the 3-2. It's hard to bear. But I was over at the Tottenham Stadium earlier this year. My son Stephen's based in London, and we had a great day out there. Fantastic stadium, and well, we were so well looked after and all that sort of stuff, you know. But no. Spurs at the moment are not just top of the tops with me, I have to say. But I can't desert them now, Paddy. I've been supporting them since I was 10 years of age, so that's 60 years ago.
You'll be sad leaving though, Charlie.
Ah, sad. I was at a function last night, St Junan's, honoured that team that I presented onto the pitch today of 25 years ago, and Eireann McGowan did a wee interview with me, and I found myself getting very emotional, very emotional. But listen, that's life, Paddy. You make decisions and you have to stand by them, and you say, well, I think I'm making the right decision. I just feel that I don't have much more to give, type of thing. And if you can't give it, no better man than yourself, the amount of travelling you have to do your job. If that's starting to irk you, get out of there, because you know you're not going in the right frame of mind, and you're not going to be able to do the job to your best of your ability. And the least we can give to the people who are listening is the best we can give. That's all we can do.
Well, you really are the voice of Donegal, and it won't be the last we're going to hear from you, Charlie, and I'm sure you'll be making loads of appearances right throughout the Northwest in the coming years, and no doubt people are still going to be asking you to MC gigs and all that as well, Charlie. And we have a night for Charlie, don't we? The 15th of November. Where's that? Tell us about that, Charlie.
That's in the Mount Errigal. Donegal Daily Stephen Maguire decided that they should have something like that, and I said, well, who would want to come to that, you know? But he said, no, we're going to have some. So himself and Chris McNulty, I think, are the two most involved in it, and I'm not sure what kind of a night it's going to be honest with you, Paddy. He's just told me to turn up, and they'll look after everything, so I'm not going to argue with that.
We might see Glenn Hoddle or Ange maybe, or a few Harry Kane show up.
Ange better not come, because of he wouldn't be happy with that, I'd have to say to him. But anyway, who knows, Paddy. It'll be a nice night. Listen, whoever turns up, it'll be wonderful. We'll have a nice night, and it'll be a nice way to send off.
The voice of Charlie Collins on Hanging Up the Microphone at the end of this year. He was in conversation there with Paddy McGill on the Donegal GAA podcast. And if you'd like to be at the night for Charlie, which is taking place in the Mount Errigal Hotel in Letterkenny on Friday the 15th of November, tickets are available by calling the Mount Errigal directly on 074-9122-700. That's 074-9122-700. A reminder, finally, that The Final Whistle is available as a podcast each week on oceanfm.ie and wherever you get your podcasts. Simply search for Ocean FM Sport or The Final Whistle to find it. We're back with you next week. Same time, same place.